RN is devoting this coming month to a project we're calling Reboot Your Life. It's designed to reach right into the lives of all of us, listeners and radio workers alike, and to acknowledge that lots of the givens are shifting about our lives, and many of us might need to be brought up to date with some of the thinking about what does promote well-being or wellness these days, in itself quite a new emphasis. Indeed, sleep has been elevated in modern society from something we all did and hardly thought about to a multi-billion dollar industry founded on self-help books, fancy pyjamas, scented sprays, expensive retreats. I mean, we all know we need sleep, although exactly how much we should be getting is the subject of endless arguments among sleep scientists. But where exactly is this obsession with slumber taking us? Is the so-called sleep revolution, led by sleep evangelists like Arianna Huffington, the media mogul, is it likely to produce more rest for us? Well, Sophie McBain is a contributing writer for the New Statesman, and she weighed in recently with an interesting and contrarian piece for the magazine about who should really be worried about this and who shouldn't. Prepare to be a little bit shocked, maybe I should say, listeners, by the notion of class entering the debate. Welcome to Saturday Extra.
Hi.
Can I ask you a personal question? How do you sleep?
I think generally my sleep patterns are not too bad. I have had kind of short periods of insomnia in my life and they were so stressful. And so I do really feel for people who have ongoing sleep problems and have things like insomnia.
Your article basically said that we're developing an obsession with sleep. And you really started to research it. I mean, it used to be that sleep was a bit uncool. We were all trying to fit in with the work hard, play hard mentality. Now we're spritzing lavender all around the bedroom and buying these self-help guides. What's going on?
I think there is a lot of anxiety about sleep. For instance, there was a survey in 2011 in the UK and two-thirds of respondents said that they had some kind of sleep problem, which made me wonder how much it really is a problem and how much it's a matter of our anxiety and our expectations about how well we're sleeping. And that's probably partly because of a general increased interest in health and well-being, and maybe also because we're understanding the science of sleep a bit better. And it is true that if you're not getting good enough sleep, it can affect your health in all kinds of ways and be really damaging. So I think it's a variety of factors.
Yeah, you said, if I read you correctly, that actually this so-called sleep revolution was aimed at the people who do already sleep relatively well, affluent white-collar workers. And oddly enough, we all thought that was the group getting the least sleep. That's what's usually reported in the media. Have we been getting it wrong?
I think there are, of course, lots of stressed out white collar workers who aren't getting enough sleep. But if you look generally across that group, it seems they're getting healthier sleep patterns. And this is something that was first picked up by a podcast called Freakonomics. And they looked at how lots of the time when people do surveys across large groups of people, they look at the average hours that different groups sleep. But in actual fact, getting too much sleep is almost worse for you than getting too little sleep. And so you find that, in fact, people who are poor and have low social economic status are more likely to either sleep far too little or far too much for their well-being. And that often gets lost in the data. So we've had this mistaken notion that people who are wealthier and higher educated and in high-powered professional jobs have the least healthy sleep patterns, and they probably don't.
Well, very interesting. So what the implication is that people who sleep too long have got underlying issues, psychological issues like depression or a sense of post-traumatic stress or they're not adjusting to new environments, something like that.
Yeah, so it's not that sleeping for too long is likely to be harmful in itself, but quite often it could be something like depression, or it could be that there's an underlying undiagnosed or perhaps diagnosed chronic illness. If someone has cancer or some other kind of long-term illness, that probably means that they're going to be sleeping longer.
And which means, and typically they haven't gone to get that diagnosed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or perhaps they have. So the study that this is based on was done in the University of Warwick in the UK, and it looked at lots of different studies. They looked at the sleep patterns of 1 million people, and it found that when they looked at the study period, if you sleep less than 6 hours, you're 12% more likely to die within the study period than people who sleep between 6 and 8 hours. But if you sleep more than 8 hours a night, then you're 30% more likely to die in that period.
30%?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's not something to kind of then get terrified about if you happen to sleep 9 hours a night on average, because there could be all kinds of other reasons, and that in itself isn't bad for you. The sleeping part isn't what's damaging your health, unlike sleeping too little.
I noticed you also quoted the American Time Use Survey, which analysed the lifestyle patterns of 150,000 people in the US. Now, what did it show?
So what it showed is that if you are a Black American, if you have a lower level of education, and if you have a low socioeconomic status, then you're more likely to kind of fall on the wrong ends of this U-curve in terms of your sleep and your health. You're more likely to sleep too little, less than 6 hours a night, or far too much, then more than 8 hours a night.
That's the class element that I'm talking about. I mean, that's what I got from your piece anyway, that the worried well are worrying about this, but it may well be that there's a whole lot of other people who haven't thought that they've bought into the sleep obsession who actually have got more cause to be concerned.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think the modern kind of sleep self-help writers have diagnosed the problem correctly. They know that if you don't sleep enough, that it's not good for your health, but they're then aiming it at the wrong audience. And it's a little bit like if you think that tackling global malnutrition, you should look at wellness bloggers, because wellness bloggers quite clearly position themselves to people who have quite large disposable incomes, who probably already eat quite healthily, but who are willing to give chia seeds a go. And similarly, although it's less recognised, these new sleep evangelists are aiming towards people who are already quite health conscious, probably quite anxious about their health, who feel like they're really stressed out in their jobs, and who want to have a few easy fixes to make it easier for them to sleep. Because I think probably the people who have the worst sleep patterns, it's not really a choice for them. Their problems aren't going to be solved by buying new pyjamas or a lavender spray.
I came across an article titled How to Sleep Like a Hunter-Gatherer in Discover magazine. And I mean, we do entertain this notion that people in societies that are less developed sleep so much better because they don't have electric light disrupting our bodies. What did you find the science thought about this?
It's really hard to measure because people didn't really record in much detail how much they were sleeping before electric light came into play. But there was one study in 2015, and it looked at the sleeping patterns of traditional communities in Namibia, Bolivia, and Tanzania. And it gave them smartwatches to look at how much they slept. And the study also thought that perhaps they sleep more than we do because they don't have electric light disturbing their sleep patterns. And in actual fact, they tend to just sleep exactly the same as most people in advanced industrial societies. So it was between about 6.9 and 8.5 hours sleep a night. So that also made me wonder whether we've developed this real cultural idea that our sleep patterns changed a huge amount after the Industrial Revolution and the invention of electric light, and maybe they didn't actually change that much.
Very interesting. I mean, you fundamentally, I think, do say that we in the West worry now a lot about what's going to happen to us if we don't get our 7 or 8 hours of kip. But this becomes part of the problem, that people are told, relax, don't worry too much about sleep, and that actually doesn't help people who have bought into, having been inculcated, in fact, with the notion that they won't be either productive or serene or happy if they have poor sleep.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think there are a couple of surveys that show that, in fact, if you're really anxious about your sleep, you're more likely to think that you're getting less of it than you actually are. And lots of people are quite relaxed about their sleep patterns, actually sleep slightly less than they think they do. But because they're not up at night worrying about why they're not asleep yet and if they're comfortable, they don't remember all that time they spend in bed just kind of thinking and waiting to fall asleep.
What was your take out then? I mean, did you change your own behaviour or worry patterns as a result of doing this bit of research?
Well, this is going to sound really weird given everything I've said, but after kind of reading all these endless studies and self-help books, I did stop doing things that I was doing before that were quite unhealthy. So I tried to stop checking my phone in bed and watching TV right before I went to bed, or checking my emails, because I'd heard that the blue light that you get from screens is actually really bad for inducing sleep. And I guess I spent quite a lot more time thinking about my sleep patterns than I really had before. And I don't think any of this does any harm. If you're reading a sleep self-help book and you decide to cut down on alcohol and have a hot milky drink at night or not check your phone in bed, all these small fixes, I don't think that's harmful. In fact, you might suddenly find that you sleep much better than you ever did, and that's great. And I think it's as long as people don't feel that's the whole sleep problem, and really there's this kind of big economic problem, the big reason why lots of people don't get enough sleep, and their health is really suffering, and that's because of much, much bigger, more structural problems in the way society works at the moment.
Well, look, thank you very much indeed, Sophie. Mercifully, I haven't had a lot of sleep problems. I feel immensely sorry for people who do, but I can see that you've contributed to the discussion. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
And Sophie is a contributing writer for The New Statesman. Her informative piece on obsession with sleep is on our website. And as some of you may be aware, RN's been running a sleep survey where we've asked you to send in your experiences, and Life Matters are going to reveal those results on Tuesday. Do you know they've had 20,000 online responses. So that does show you we are pretty obsessed with sleep. And for the month of October, we'll be featuring Reboot Your Life, conversations and interviews that'll hopefully help you improve your life. It starts Monday with different emphases over the coming 4 weeks. This week focuses on health and fitness. So I trust that Sophie's thoughts hit the mark for you.